Liverpool's Royal Birkdale Golf Club hosts the 154th Open Championship this week.
With a score of 283, the winner of the gold medal and the champion golfer of the year is Padraig Harrington.
This is an Open Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague with Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague. Open Championship Week on the Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your Tuesdays are off to a great, great start. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of radio. I have a bit of fun with audio to play for you. We'll get into the World Cup for semifinal game is today. I got to get your guys' footy thoughts on the semifinal. Did I hear correctly? Nobody's ever been to three finals in a row? And France would be the first?
They would be the third.
Third, okay.
To get there three times
now,
in a row.
Did they win two times ago?
Or they lost both? Two times ago and then lost in the final.
So we got a Bills situation going on if they lose again? Three in a row? Has anybody ever lost three in a row? Finals.
No, they won two times ago.
Oh, they won two times
ago. They lost the last one.
I thought you said they lost. Got it. Okay. Following along here. Trying to pick up the tea leaves. Semifinals today.
The one tomorrow is two times the ticket price of today's.
Really?
It's not even close which game is more popular.
Hmm.
And it's mainly because Spain sucks.
Is it, how much of that is a Messi thing too?
Well, Messi and Harry Kane in England definitely help, but on
people
the other side of today, you have Mbappe.
Right. I thought he's one of the biggest names. Is he not?
He is, but it's not
double
Mbappe against, you know.
I couldn't tell anybody on Spain's team, but that's just me.
Well, they play boring soccer. I know that.
It's on at noon today. I will have it on. So semifinal coming up. We'll get to that. But now it is the final hour. We've wasted enough time. It's time for the mail sack. Hit the open.
He's not paying attention.
With the mail sack.
He's completely checked out on the show.
Come on the kick drum. Gary, come.
Hello.
Jason Swigart. Hello. Mail sack
Can
open.
Can we pay attention?
Thank you.
To a live radio program.
Dirt and Sprague.
What are you doing over there?
This is the mail sack.
Mail sack time.
Mail sack.
Brought to you by Sparta TRT.
This is Sparta!
Committed to safe, simple, straightforward testosterone replacement and male performance therapy. Go to SpartaTRT.com for more.
Mail sack.
There you go. Sparta TRT brings the mail sack to you as always. Whether you're hitting the gym or just trying to survive the workday, don't just watch from the sidelines. Reclaim your edge and win in the second half of life. SpartaTRT.com.
Let's go.
See, we got in the old sack today. They started coming in early and often today. Mail sack question. Watching Barry Bonds last night made me think of this question. What retired player, if in their prime, would have the greatest impact if they were to play in today's generation of Major League Baseball? In their prime, would have the biggest impact. So not like what guy could still do it, obviously.
No, if
but Bonds
back.
Is probably one of the old aged up guys who could probably still go out and get you a base hit, I'd imagine. He's lost a lot of weight. He stopped using steroids, and he rides his bike everywhere. So he's skinny, one of those guys that didn't get fat. I mean, who couldn't, right? Like, could Griffey live in this prime? Could Bonds? Could like?
Well, all of them could, but who would you pick? Because I think Griffey would cross over the best, still.
Probably.
The smile, the backwards hat, the swing.
Yeah.
Quiet-natured, but, like, idolized and loved by every athlete of every sport.
The backward hat was so iconic.
Dude, Bonds was an a-hole.
Oh, always was. Everybody hated him.
McGuire was obviously the roided-out dude. Sosa, obviously roided-out dude. Now, you could go even further back. Willie Mays.
Yeah, I go a little bit further back. Seeing players like that would be such an outlier, though, because of their the difference in games now that you see. Like, seeing a guy who actually does what Willie Mays would do, like the stealing of bases, the gold glove winning in the outfield, hitting .333, but also 49 home runs, like, doesn't strike out a lot.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Willie Mays would be really fun in this era.
Give me a guy who would stick out like a sore thumb. Give me Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn coming out and hitting .379 and not striking
and just
out.
A bunch of singles.
He has like 12 strikeouts on the season, and a teammate has 462 of them. Just for that reason and missing that style of baseball, I'll answer Tony Gwynn.
See,
why not?
What do you think? I'm trying to see here. So Tony Gwynn's stats.
Yeah.
What's the most home runs in a season Tony Gwynn had in his career?
Oh, it's a great question.
I don't feel like, okay.
18? Am I criminally low? Am I overshooting the moon?
This is insane because I don't remember Tony Gwynn going yard. I know what he was as a hitter.
You just remember him slapping a single to left
His
field.
His high in a season
for
home
20?
Runs. He played from 82 to 2001.
Forever.
His high in a season in home runs was 17.
17? I was close.
Get this.
Yeah.
1-1-5-6-14-7-7-4-4-4-4-6-7-12-9-3-17-16-10-1-1.
I mean, he had to add a little bulk at the end of his career. He wasn't quite moving. He wasn't quite as fleet of foot as he was back in his basketball playing
days. His only year below batting 309. Yeah, 309. The only season he had batting below that was his very first year. He batted 289.
He has him and Bonds are two guys in the historical stat category of like you read them and it's like if you transitioned every Tony Gwynn, you know, walk into a strikeout, there's something, you know, some of those dumb ones that are out there. He still wouldn't have as many strikeouts as X, Y, and Z. You could do that for Bonds too of like his intentional walks. If you turned them all into outs, he would still have a higher, you know, batting average or on-base percentage or whatever than fill in the blank of some all-time great players. I mean, those are two absolute outliers in their career.
Tony Gwynn's batting average against Greg Maddux was .429. His batting average against John Smoltz was .462.
Two of the best pitchers from his generation.
And his batting average against Tom Glavine was .312.
Can we bring it back, man? Bring it back. Give me one Tony Gwynn on every team. Not everybody needs to be Tony Gwynn. You're not going to be to the caliber of that, but a guy that just plays that way. I miss that desperately.
Greg Maddux never struck out Tony Gwynn in 103 times.
Like, how was that possible? 103 at-bats in your career, not
also,
once you struck out?
You know, here's a counter.
Crazy.
Here's one to add to it, because you're right. Like, I still think it's Griffey. But Tony Gwynn being in this modern era of 17 is your high, but you're largely in that 9 to 10 home runs in a season range.
Right. But you're hitting .375.
How would we react with, like, a thoroughbred horse pitcher?
Ooh, just a guy.
Not that
who's
we don't have great pitchers, right? Tarik Skubal might get traded. You got Skeens now. There's these great names.
A Nolan Ryan.
A dude that's
throwing eight innings every time out.
Yes.
247 pitches.
Yes.
I don't care.
Throwing heat, just going the full boat. Like,
what happened to the sport I love?
Oh, man.
Mm. Dirt and Sprague mail sack question. What is your interest level in F1? Is it a sport, and what would it take for you to follow a season of F1?
It is absolutely a sport.
Absolutely.
On the front end, let me just say that. It takes a lot of physical endurance to do that sport. I don't follow it. My only problem with F1... One, I never follow the schedule, so I don't know when races are. I know it's on one streaming platform more than any other. My stepdad, before he got divorced from my mom, was more of a NASCAR monster truck guy, so F1 wasn't really a race thing we watched at all.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like the same five people win the races.
Yeah.
And that's mostly about brand recognition and motors, right? Like,
I feel more it's about the cars and the manufacturer and the team behind it, and there's like three guys that can win a race. Also, because the way the courses are designed, there's like two places you can pass a guy. So once somebody has the lead after the first pit stop, like how often, unless they wreck or something happens, the car malfunctions, how often do they blow a lead?
Look, it is a sport. I'm not going to pretend to know anything about F1 and what goes into the cars and the racing
aspect
of it.
Did you ever watch the Brad Pitt movie?
I never did, no. I'm not a big race guy.
No, that's fine.
It's just not my cup of tea. I've said
no
this
Days
for a long
Thunder,
time.
I'll tell you that much.
No, Days of Thunder is an all-time classic. I will say that I am of the opinion, especially at this stage in life, having a two-year-old running around, getting to sit down and enjoy and watch sports is more of a privilege than it's ever been in my life. And it doesn't happen very often. And I think back to years, you know, 3 years ago when you could sit and watch literally anything you wanted. Maybe you could have sold me on F1 at that point. But my amount of minutes on the TV watching sports live is very limited, and I'm not going to commit any of them to watching something that I don't care about, which is the main reason why a lot of the stuff I just like, there's just some stuff, like, I know what I like. Maybe as I get older, there'll be new interests and new sports that I decide to follow and get more into. I just don't have a lot of time in my schedule right now for sports, and I think a lot of parents can relate to that. And so it's football, it's Blazer basketball games, it's, you know, you fill in the blank of the things that you do for you. I can't wait for the Open Championship this weekend. That should be fun.
Like, are you going to watch the All-Star game tonight?
I'll have it on. I'm not going to watch it, though, closely. Yeah. I'm not going to, like, sit in front of my couch and say I can't miss it, but it'll be on my TV, sure. Like, walking around, cooking dinner, you know, eating with the little guy, and then it's bath time, and I'll poke my head back out and see what the score is and see what the situation is, but it's not going to be a start-to-finish watch for me by any means.
Well, I was talking about this with, actually, last two rounds of golf that I played with people, and it's basically the same thing of, like, they're both parents, and they're both telling me they have what they watch and follow, and almost everything else is background noise.
Yes, you just can't.
Like, one person told me straight
up, I don't have
the
bandwidth for
Oregon Ducks.
Yeah.
It's most NFL Sundays.
Yes.
With the caveat of, like, it's not their job to talk about it, so they'll skip games.
Sure, if there's one you don't care about or whatever, yeah.
And then it's the Blazer game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Turn it on. Kids went to bed. All right, let's see what the... Oh, look at that. They're up by five.
And that's kind of it.
That's all you got time for, man.
And, like, sometimes I'm doing show sheet stuff, and I'm like, this. And I'm like...
Yeah.
And I also tell myself, how many people are really following this?
Not very many of them, man. Not very many of them. Mail sack question. Should it be a criminal offense for the groundskeepers to keep putting the tee boxes on a slope? Can we not just get flat tee boxes?
No kidding.
I don't see Scotty out here trying to figure out where to stand, yet us amateurs are hitting it off of rounded tee boxes. Sorry for the vent. Amen.
No,
you're
amen
preaching
to
my choir.
Yeah.
And how is it so hard to find a flat tee box? Because that is a problem everywhere you go.
Doesn't feel like it should be hard to flatten the
tee box. It does not. That should be one rule of a tee box, is that it should be... If I feel like I'm hitting a tee shot and the ball's above my feet,
yeah,
that's all that I'm thinking about as I'm hitting the tee shot, and guess what's going to happen to that tee shot? It's not going to be a good shot.
Never have I...
Amen, brother.
Have I felt so seen than when Bryson DeChambeau was at his LIV tournament and he was having to chip off hard pan, and I just thought, yes... I've never felt like it was fair. Now, look, I shouldn't hit over here.
Yeah.
But this is unfair to me.
I'm going to foot wedge this thing into the grass. You know why?
This is an injustice to me. And when he came out and said, are you kidding me? I'm just going to hit off this. I went, thank you.
Thank you.
Me at every Muni locally.
This is a dirt patch off of the fairway. This is not a hazard. This is not something. This is you just didn't have a sprinkler that can hit right here.
And so
there's a dead patch.
Hard ground.
And I'm not ruining my club on this.
It's ridiculous.
I'm not on the PGA Tour.
How do you chip that? I don't know what I... Am I supposed to just go into the dirt as hard as I can?
It's like trying to hit out of those clay sandboxes sand traps. What are we doing here, man?
Yeah.
Amen to that, dude. You run for Portland on that platform, flattening tee boxes in Portland courses, I'll probably vote for you. And pro Moda Center funding. Mail sack question, what is one specific thing that you wish Portland had? For me, it's a mid-size outdoor concert venue, something bigger than Edgefield, but not as big or as far as the Cascade Amphitheater. What is
functioning government.
That would be nice.
A functioning, business-friendly government.
That would be nice, yeah.
I think we still have a lot of capabilities to be a great city. I still partake in the city.
Mm-hmm.
I find people that don't ever visit, live near, or care, that complain about it socially, odd and weird. But, yeah. I mean, look, ideally, another sports team, I think, would actually help the city in many ways.
Another team would be the easiest.
An NFL
top of my
team.
List, yeah. I don't care what it is. I mean, I'd prefer NFL.
An NFL team.
I would take NHL. I'd take Major League Baseball.
But a Major League Baseball team would be a very close second for me. You gave me hockey. I honestly wouldn't go to that many.
Sure.
I don't know how closely I'd follow, but I'd be into it.
Yeah. Playoff time, we'd talk about it.
Yep.
You know, it'd be one of those situations. We just need... I think the biggest frustration outside of everything you laid out, which is totally fair, our government is incompetent and we can't really get anything done. It's a bit of an issue. If we're just going to boil it down to more specific of our, you know, our thought process and the way that we work, there is a part of me that despises the Blazers because of the monopoly they've been able to have over the sports fans in this city my entire life.
Mm.
And I think it keeps us from being overly critical. It keeps us from having another place to go spend our dollars that will make us happier. There's this idea that everything they do is right and that we've had this great organization forever. They've done nothing. They've been in comp. There was somebody who had a post the other day who said this century, I think it was, or maybe in the last 25 years, that we've been out of the first round of the playoffs like twice or three times in like 25 years.
We've been out of the playoffs?
Out of the first round of the playoffs three times. Made the playoffs, but we've won a first round playoff series three times in 25 years since I was 12
years old.
Those
were all the Dame years, right?
I believe
Houston series, the Clippers
so.
Series, and the Thunder series.
And the Thunder series.
Yeah.
And, So that sucks. And I wish
in that time span
we had a Major League Baseball team who would say, hey, you don't want to spend your dollars on this Kraft sandwich? Mm-hmm. You want to come sit out here in 85-degree weather today? It's going to be delightful and drink a beer and we're down by the river. It just
Oh, I mean, imagine an
having
NFL
competition
team.
Would be incredible. Yeah. And they've never really had – the Timbers have had a massive following. The Thorns are very popular. You know I love the Winterhawks. It just – they're all a little bit different. And it's not quite the same. And so, yeah, that getting another team in this market, I think, would be great for everybody. Not to mention sports fans having something else to watch. But I think it's important to have a market in a city where you're held. Like the Mariners were this way forever in Seattle. They didn't do squat for 20 years. And guess what? People stopped going to games.
Yeah.
Nobody went for like a decade to a Mariner game.
I would argue, because some people will tout their attendance, and I would actually push back. Like, I would argue people have actually kind of responded to it. Their attendance is not...
It has definitely dipped, for sure.
They don't sellout streak at the Moda Center anymore, dude.
It has definitely dipped.
People don't feel the urgency or need to be at as many games as maybe you once did, because it's largely continues to be the same product of, hey, cute little team, cute little story, hey, cute little player, you're never a title contender.
Right. Don't worry, at the deadline, we'll do something fun. Yeah. Mail sack question. What are your predictions for the rest of the Major League Baseball season, and do you have any dark horses? I'm probably the worst person to ask here. Well, I have not watched. I found out yesterday the White Sox were in first place, so I don't know if I'm the guy that you're going to go to for baseball expertise right now.
I think the Marlins are going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
I think that's a fun.
Are they a dark horse?
Story.
Are they a contender for you?
I mean, making the playoffs in baseball puts you in the running for it.
You're not wrong.
Is anybody going to pick them to beat the Dodgers? Absolutely the hell not.
Mm.
The other take I would say is the Dodgers will not be winning the World Series, but I don't know if that's a hot take.
Ooh.
I think that's a take.
Should we flip it or stick it on our preseason predictions?
Did we all pick the Dodgers?
Let me see.
Swag probably did the thing where he didn't pick his team.
Yeah, I did.
Sprague, you picked the Mariners to beat the Braves.
Oh.
In the World Series.
That's fake. There's not a chance I did that.
Yeah, that's it's literally on my show sheet.
I think you just edited the
right
show
there.
Sheet. I think
it's
you
literally right
the
there. It's
sheet.
Highlighted too. Wow. So I took the Dodgers over the Blue Jays.
I got the Bravos part right so far. We're in first place.
I mean, the Mariners might be a playoff team.
Water. Yeah.
What if you end up getting it right? Are you going to claim it then if that ends up being the World Series?
My Chicago Bear pick has taught me to not flip.
Don't ever flip.
But I don't think the Dodgers are winning the World Series for a third straight.
I had the Brewers over the Blue Jays. Are the Blue Jays any good? No, they're in last place.
They're dead last in the AL East.
They're only 2.5 out of the wild card.
You took the Giants to win the NL West? Why would you do that?
I bought into the Tennessee Buster Posey thing. I was crotching. I was doing the hip thrust movement at you. I was like, hey, dude, let's get into this.
This is really ironic.
Yeah.
So you were out the day that we made our baseball picks, and we jokingly made the baseball picks for you. Of, like, the funniest possible teams that we could pick. So that's why I put the Giants as the NL West.
Wait, so you picked the Mariner Braves?
I did, yeah, knowing it would piss you off. I also...
I was going to say, I don't remember saying that.
I also, and this is where it's funny, I just started chuckling. I had you picking the White Sox to win the AL Central to make fun of you, and they're in first place.
This is like the time my cousin won Uno against our family when she was on a bathroom break.
There you go. I had you picking the Pirates or the Pirates.
Pirates are
again,
a fun little story.
But they're a fun little story. Yeah. They're not bad.
Dude, they're only two games back in the wild card.
They're right there. They got a shot at it.
Joke's on you. Yeah. I'm smart.
White Sox ended up being the right pick.
Joke's on
Mariners,
you.
If the World Series ends up being Mariners versus Braves, I'm saving this on my show sheet. That's going to be a really funny callback.
If my team loses.
Oh, you will never hear the end of it.
Let me think about this for a second.
Yeah.
What did they lost then? 96.
96.
First time I ever cried at a sporting event.
Yep.
I think they lost in 99, 2 to the Yankees.
In the World Series they did?
Yeah, Braves? It's not a memorable World Series.
I don't remember the 99 World Series
Look
at all.
Look that up. Okay. Can you verify that?
I will.
I'm trying to count how many World Series like that I remember watching them lose.
Hold
There's
on.
Many to choose from.
Yankees won in 98, 99, and 2000.
So 92, they lost in 9. No, you weren't old enough in 91 to remember, probably,
I wouldn't
right?
I remember that.
That's so that was Twinkies? They lost to the Twins in Game 7. They lost in the World Series the next year to the Blue Jays, 92.
Yep.
Made it to the World Series, won in 95.
And then lost in 96.
Lost in 96
after
to the Yankees.
A 2-0 lead, by the way.
They
and
did
lost
indeed
four straight.
Get swept by the Yankees in 1999.
99 is one of the more un. It's the one of the least memorable World Series in sports history.
I got nothing up here on that one.
I remember as a Braves fan just being demoralized how much I hated that team.
Yeah. The Braves team or the Yankees team? The Yankees team, yeah.
The Yankees, dude. They killed me in 96 and 99.
Mariners beating you in the World Series would be really funny.
It'd be really funny.
I could never say another negative. Like, couldn't. The Mariners could be a 20 year like your worst run nightmare. Of losing.
This is like, you know, it's different, but on a similar level of me, like Mario or, you know, Lincoln Riley or somebody like that. When it just,
it's worst, not great, Bob.
Worst nightmare.
It's not great.
There you go. More mail sack halfway down. Halfway to go. The Sparta TRT mail sack continues next. 105.1 FM, the fam. I always love hearing our new bumper music and looking over, seeing what the name of the song is.
Perfectly timed.
Write it all night long.
Writing in them intestines.
That's the name of the song.
You did know that uncomfortably quickly.
Yeah, it's a good question. I kind of want to Google
you're
it
not
now.
Right, but you just said it so quick.
What's the Google? What internal organ makes a condom?
And what internal animal organ
animal
makes the best human condom?
Organ makes the best human condom.
By the way, cobras slither at 12 miles per hour.
Oh, I could definitely outrun one then.
That's slower than the alligator.
The pouch beginning at the large intestine of sheep and lambs has been used to create natural membrane condoms.
Oh, Swag was a beef fan. What happens down at Oregon State with beavers?
That's right. In earlier periods, fish bladders were also used due to their thinness.
So your idea back in the day was, let me catch this big fish, gut it, put it over my ween?
Who comes up with this stuff?
Who was the tester of
who
this?
Who thought that out?
And then when it worked, did you go, guys,
dude,
you'll never believe what I just did.
Everybody go kill your lambs now.
The carp are actually really good for this reason. Oh,
don't release those ones.
That's terrible.
The mail sack, as always, brought to you by our wonderful friends at Sparta TRT. Whether you're hitting the gym, surviving the workday, don't just watch in the sidelines or claim your edge. Win the second half of life, SpartaTRT.com.
Pulling prey on a human.
Yeah, there's other strategies here. Let's see here. What else we got in the mail sack? Mail sack question, based on what we know today, how many games do you think the Blazers will win this upcoming season?
If this is indeed the roster, always got to preface it with that, and I believe this is the roster. They're just going to have some two-way guy at some point. I'm going to predict that this team wins 40 games.
Okay. Do we have over-unders out yet?
Not yet.
Not yet.
That usually comes out around late August.
We got to wait
September,
and see.
August is usually when you get your over-under numbers. And you know what? If you go into the 30s, I don't blame you. It's a five-guard, five-center.
What did they win last year?
42.
42, yeah.
And they got a gift of a back-end schedule.
But
they,
you also have to look at
a legendary
which
tank.
Teams were worse than them that are likely to be much more improved.
Yeah, I mean, I think the schedule will unquestionably be tougher. You will not have as many tanking teams in the Western Conference.
Nope.
I don't think that five guards on one roster works. I also will acknowledge I am a bit of a buyer in Ja Morant having – I don't know if he's going to return fully to form, but I don't think he's going to be a horrible player.
So 28% from three?
That. And I do think Dame will help. I don't think he's going to be, again, the player that he was. I'm going to say 43 wins. I think you're exactly the same team next year.
They're better.
Yeah.
They've gotten better. Now in your face.
In my face. 43 wins, 7 seed, and getting bounced in the first round of the playoffs again.
You think they're the 7 seed again?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're somewhere in there.
Wow. You don't buy the Snowtime Lakers?
I think, well, the Lakers were already ahead of them in the standings last year.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you go through the laundry list of teams,
sure.
How much better will the Lakers get?
I don't know if the Lakers would be better or worse, because LeBron is gone, so I don't know what the impact's going to be there. I don't really know. Like, there will be somebody will swing up and somebody will swing down. That
You're
happens
saying we
every
swing
year.
Slightly up, but not.
I just think we stay the same. I just think we're exactly the same team next year.
So then do you have a problem with the roster or not?
I do, because you did nothing to improve if you're exactly the same team.
I know, and you're going to hate this, but
don't
the technicality
fine,
is
fine.
They
they're
going to
win 42 games.
Game.
They're going to win 42 games. Are you happy now?
Well, I'm not
Are you happy now?
I know. I want them to make a move. I want Trey Murphy on this team.
I think they're going to be exactly the same team next year.
Okay.
I think they drop into the 30s. Oof. I don't know how with that collection of guards and defensively how they're going to make it work. Like, you're asking an awful lot of...
Like, what's the second unit?
Drew Holiday and Dumani Kamara to guard.
Yeah, it depends on who you started as your backcourt, right? Is it Drew and Dame, or is it Dame and Ja? Because we know Dame's starting, so what's your starting backcourt?
I've got no indication that Scoot and Shaden are going to help defensively or improve.
I mean, the retort would essentially be, and again, the schedule will be tougher. What was your bench this year? It was Caleb Love.
No, I know that.
And you won 42 games.
Yeah, but the difference is
the schedule will be tougher.
The talent is obviously an upgrade in a lot of ways, but also the counter is just like you're operating in a conference that's big.
Yeah, no doubt. That's why I think there's
not they go small. I don't know defensively how they hold up. Even if they're going to have to shoot 40% from three, and they don't have enough.
Is Brendan Carlson striking fear in the hearts of fill-in-the-blank West team?
No, not at all.
Because if you go two bigs, three, whatever, I don't know if that.
But I guess and this is where I'm frustrated because I wanted them to do more this offseason. I don't want this to dominate the entire mail sack segment.
Yeah.
But I also, we didn't have any of that last year. We won 42 games.
But they also benefited from
a easy schedule. I've made that argument a million times. They also
are they going to rebound? Are they going to get that again?
Are you going to be as banged up as you were next year?
I mean, with the cast of characters available? You have, you can make an argument they're more injured.
Yeah, we don't know, though. We don't know the answer to that question. Is Robert Williams healthy? Is he not? There's a lot of stuff up in the air.
He'd be the one I trust maybe the least.
I think you're going to be worse, significantly worse defensively, but I think you will be better offensively. Now, your three-point shooting problem's not going to go away.
Will with Dame.
Dame will make that slightly better, but you're still going to be a bad shooting team. But to have multiple guys who can go and create their own shot and take, I need a one-on-one possession, you could go get me a bucket.
Plus, you have a new coach. How long is it going to take them to get in rhythm offensively with however they're going to sort out the minutes at the guard position
take
and
a
who's
while,
got
man.
The ball? And
yeah. Maybe I'm overshooting the moon. Maybe I'm too optimistic. But, yeah,
you're more optimistic than I thought you were.
It's funny because in my
head
it's incredibly pessimistic. To say you're the same team again, that's literally what drives me the most crazy as a fan.
And it's one of those, if they do the same thing, I actually think a lot of fans and the organization are going to tell you why it's a good thing.
Well, look at that. We were better scoring the ball this year. Now we can make our big move. Let's just wait till the next trade.
I had somebody legitimately tell me they might wait till the next deadline on Shade, and I'm just like, we're just going to keep doing this forever, aren't we?
That's what we do. We kick cans down the road. Mailsack, am I a snob or do I have a legitimate new pet peeve? On vacation a week ago in the Central California coast, there was a beautiful sunset. At the very end of it, bystanders cheered and applauded the sunset. The next day, the same thing. I commented to my wife after the second day, who cheers the sun? The sunset is a beautiful thing, but you don't cheer the sun. That's dumb. She told me I'm being a snob. Who's right?
I wouldn't say you're a snob.
You're right. You don't cheer the sun.
I have a funny thing.
Shut up about the sun. Shut up.
We went to Oahu in 2021, and we were on the famous Waikiki, strip of beach. And the busiest day we had on the week that we were there was one of our last nights. It was picture perfect. I mean, every day was great, right? It was August. The way the sun was, zero clouds. Everybody was on that beach with their phones out. I mean, it was hundreds of people lined up. And when that sun was setting, right when it dipped below and you could still get the brightness but not see the actual sun, the whole beach.
What are we doing?
Just collective clapping. And I just love a sunset. It's one of my favorite things of being a human. I appreciate a sunset. I'll give you a little nerd thing. Quietly in my head, I say, thank you. It's a weird, grateful thing I do, but I don't clap for the sun.
No.
The sun knows I care about it.
I
don't
care
need
about
to clap
the sun.
For it. It doesn't hear me.
The idea of clapping is really funny. Also, I'm sure all those people have watched that video a million times on their phone. I'm sure they scroll every day.
We took two photos, and I look at those photos once in a while.
You take your phone out, take a click, put it back down.
Yeah.
I don't need a video.
I got some sunsets there. The one in Venice, when we were dining out.
Anybody applaud?
No, we were enjoying our dinner.
Yeah.
We got to quietly enjoy
it. It was quiet.
The sunset.
It was like everybody turned around for a moment. It's like, hey,
it's an unspoken moment of beauty.
Yeah. We're all sharing this moment together. Don't ruin it.
And you just take
Don't ruin it. Yeah. You are right. Your wife is wrong. Mailsack, have you ever been recognized in public, but they thought you were someone different? Like they know you're a local sports person, but they thought you were someone from TV or a different radio personality?
Yeah, I was actually. I was noticed in public, but not in anywhere that you would think. Because we do a show, we meet listeners, and it's really cool when that happens. I went down to California years ago, and I was covering UCLA the year they went to the Pac-12 title game by default, because they had the divisions back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was down there for 3 days, and LMU was playing a basketball game against Rick Majerus in St. Louis. It was in LA. I had nothing else to do. I email for a credential. I get the credential. I show up, and I'm just taking in basketball. I am sitting down. I know nobody there. The guy who plays Eddie Winslow, Darius McCrary, taps me on the shoulder. I turn around. I instantly recognize him because it's Eddie freaking Winslow.
How do you not?
And he asks how I've been, how I'm doing, how I'm going to go to this party tonight, how it's going to be at this sick house, how he's here with Gary Payton, my all-time favorite point guard.
Come hang out.
Think you were?
He didn't name me, but I went with it, and I was like, dude, absolutely. It's how you been. I asked him how he's been. He's like, I've been busy shooting this and doing that and staying low. And we had like a 10-minute conversation. And I had one with Eddie Winslow because he thought I was a different white guy.
Should ask for it. Hey, by the way, can I get your number again? I think I lost my contact. Can you give me a call? Let me know where that party's at.
I absolutely ruined it because I went and got a photo with Gary Payton at the end of the game because they were on the court. And I went up to him and I went, hey, Darius, where's that party at? And it was something like a light bulb went off and he looked at me.
He's
and
like,
it was like,
the guy.
I think he realized at that point, I'm not the guy.
You're not that guy.
I was asking where the party was. So that was probably the most, like, he recognized me for the wrong reasons moment.
I had one. I've never had one in modern times. People think I look like the kid from The Sopranos. And his name was AJ in the show, the actor, his character in the show. And somebody yelled AJ to me at a Dairy Queen in Eugene one time. And I was very confused because those are my initials. And I thought, nobody's called me that in a long time. How do you know who I am? And then it dawned on me he's talking about somebody else. And I had not seen The Sopranos yet. There you go. The Mail Sack every Tuesday brought to you by Sparta TRT. Whether you're hitting the gym, just trying to survive the workday, don't watch on the sidelines. Reclaim your edge and win at the second half of life, SpartaTRT.com. A little bit of carryover and then some final thoughts, some fun with audio, World Cup loaded final segment next on The Fam. Well, I might have ran my mouth a little too early about my Sun Bet cashing.
Yeah, you did.
72-71 now. For some reason, they're playing an 8 a.m. game. That's happening right now in the WNBA.
Should have lied bet against you.
You should have lied bet the Fire, yeah. Like 10, 15 minutes ago, they were down by like 15 points. Would have been a nice payout. I did have one more quick mail sack I'm going to throw in there, and then we'll get to some final thoughts and fun with audio.
By the way, poll question is up. If you want to go vote, the Neighborhood Restaurant Group poll question of the day, dinner tonight at five locations, Sandio's, Big's Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Lorehurst Market Steakhouse. Way too early. Poll question, will the Blazers win more than 42 games this season?
Ooh, I like it. I like it.
Yes.
What about right on the dot? You didn't give me the option? I guess more than would be no. I think they're going to win 42. Mail sack question, one more to throw in here. Full disclosure, I'm a Beaver fan.
Here we go.
I used to get really interested in your college football discussion segments. However, the past couple of years, they've become less and less gripping to me. Basically for one reason, whenever you talk college football recruiting, it's 99% Oregon.
Yeah.
And I could not care less about them. And you rarely talk about OSU by yourselves and basically never ever have any guests on. One of the reasons I started listening to you is because, let me finish, it was way back and forth between the two sides, but your content has become Oregon focused. I'm wondering if there's anything Beaver fans can do to convince you to give us a little more airtime. I'm not asking for a lot, but please think about us a little bit more than you are. Can I please respond to this before you do? As
sure.
The duck, because I'm sure I'm not the one that they want to hear from. One, you're not mad at us. You're mad at your team. And two, what guests would you like us to have on? Who covers Oregon? The people who cover Oregon State, we have on our show. There's not a lot of them locally. So the idea of having people on, we've had the coach on. Maybe we can have more people from the program on. But like,
I've had the coach on multiple times.
Right. This idea that like there's a laundry list of reporters that we're not reaching out to. There's not a lot of people to cover the team anymore. And also, like, I get being upset about the lack of coverage. When one team is ranked in the top five and the other one goes 2-10 and fires their coach halfway through the year and can't execute a punt, what do you want the conversation to be?
Well, we did talk about the punt.
We did. And then we talked about firing the coach. And then they fired the coach.
Yep.
What do you want us to talk about?
I think part of the problem is, look, you can say it's us. That's totally fine to have that opinion. I think we're some Beaver fans, because I've heard it from them in my life.
Oh, I see that all the time. That's why I wanted to read it.
Well, no, I'm talking about my position here. I find it very hard to care as much about Oregon State football because of the position they've been put in.
Until they give you a reason to care again.
But see, it's not just that. It's a group of six, dude.
I get that. That one, yeah, that, I that totally is, understand that. My point is simply, if they start off, they're not going to.
But if they become in contention,
you're in the
to
playoff
win the division,
contention,
yes,
this year,
absolutely.
Like, you're going to care at the end of the year. And guess
absolutely.
What we'll do? We'll talk about them constantly.
Right. And I would argue we have, but I think the tough part is, they have been run, and this is not just Scott Barnes. This is kind of a OSU centric problem. They are run in a way that is 1998 in the year of 2026. They don't have video feeds live. They're behind in update. Like, they media doesn't largely cover the road games.
No.
And they don't give us a lot of video.
No.
Their audio stuff kind of sucks. Just everything there is a very dated operation, to just give you a glimpse behind the curtain. You pair that with conference relegation, portal jumps, coaching malpractice, incompetent athletic director move, and then like WCC affiliation and group of, it just, it's really, really difficult. And most of that, I think, is self-inflicted. Some of that has been placed on them by the other old conference.
For sure.
But I, yeah, I push back on the part, like recruiting. I'm not going to cover a 2-star recruit, a 3-star recruit.
We literally just had Nimmig on and asked him as many questions about Oregon State recruiting as we did Oregon.
Which is, whatever. I'm not really into recruiting in general, to be honest with
you. I'm just making a point.
Yeah. We always just do that mainly to feed the beast of, hey, Oregon is doing really well in a category that does matter.
Mm-hmm.
But if Oregon State's like 6-1, we've already had Shepherd on multiple times. I imagine we'll get back on. And
it would become a much bigger story.
Doc Parker's a good friend of the program.
Yes.
So
Angie comes on often. Yeah. Like, there's not that many people to cover the team, so there's not that many people who are options to bring on. And at the end of the day, we talk about things that are, like, we do this with the Blazers. We hear from Blazer fans. When they're going through one of those stretches in the tanking years, like, why aren't you guys talking about them more? It's like they're playing a G League roster and actively trying to lose games.
I just couldn't care less.
What is the conversation? Did I see this guy who we're not going to hear from 3 years ago had 19 points last night?
Yeah.
He's going to be playing in Europe in 2 years? Like, that's not interesting to me in any way. And so the success of the program will dictate the level of conversation that they get. We're not just going to blanket talk about them because you care about Oregon State, because you cannot tell me as a fan your interest level in last year was as high as it was 3 seasons ago, because it just wasn't. And I know that's the reality. So hopefully they get back to winning. I'm a big Shepherd fan. I hope he wins there this year, and that will settle a lot of it on it. So I wanted to get that one in there. It was a lengthy one, and I didn't want to do it at the end of the last segment. When was the last time you got hit in the balls?
Ooh, not that long ago. A couple of weeks back.
We're talking basketball, ball kind of bounce up, somebody randomly hit you, kid fall on you.
It was like a hit and then a delay pain.
Ooh, yeah.
Like the hit and then like the, oh, and I had to like lay on my back for a minute, let it breathe.
Not fun. With a 2-year-old at home, it happens probably every other day for me.
It's not great,
there's
Mom.
A jump, there's a fall, there's an elbow.
Yep.
This was a Little League baseball game where I hope the audio delivers on radio. The video made me laugh out loud 100 times. This happens in the span of an inning and a half. And you can hear all three of them.
Let me walk away for a minute.
Stay alive, Ryan. Good job, bud.
The coaches keep telling the kids just go walk around, because the kids are like lining back up in the box. They're like, no, you go, go.
This is a random Little League game.
There was the game changer camera behind. They caught it all 3 times in an inning and a half. Now it sounds like he's wearing a cup,
still, yeah,
not fun. Who wins today? France do it today, or we get Spain?
I'm taking France.
2-1. I don't think Spain can score enough.
France underpants.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you see, by the way, Erling Haaland? So they went back to Norway, which you want to see a cool sight.
There's a million people there.
They're rowing. The whole country's rowing. Erling Haaland was filmed getting on the plane or off the plane with a stuffed raccoon from America.
One of my new favorite athletes, man.
Dude, he's so good.
That'll do it for us, folks. If you missed any of the show, go check the podcast, 105onthefan.com. We had Spike Eskin on from Philly All-Star Game tonight. Thanks for being a part of our Tuesday. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The Firm, Harrison Moring, is next. Listen to 105.1 FM, The Fan.